Welcome to my podcast, where I meet people that I find extra interesting who share their life story. This is Rise and Shine with Shireen, a Swedish podcast where I get to dive into people's lives and also hear their view on health, and that's when it gets really interesting. Meet my lovely guests from all over the world, enjoy the moment, and thank you so much for listening. This podcast is sponsored by Beauty Disrupted, a Swedish-French beauty company where every bar is gently crafted in the south of France with 100% organic oils and fragrances. And my body just loves these products. Jessie Inchauspé, you're a French biochemist and international best-selling author, but more famous as the glucose goddess with 1.4 million followers on Instagram. You have recently released your top-selling book in Swedish. It's called Glucose Revolution, or in Swedish, Glukosrevolutionen. It has been translated into 40 languages already, and we are happy here in Sweden that we have become country number 40. I want to hear everything about eagle energy, glucose hacks, your trip to Hawaii, your morning routines, your best life hacks, how high glucose levels affect our hormone system, wrinkles, mood, skin, energy levels, and much, much more. So welcome, welcome, welcome to my podcast, Rise and Shine with Shireen.
Thank you for having me, Shireen. So happy to be here.
Happy to be here. Happy to have you here on my computer screen in my living room. I am happy, I'm honored and excited to have you here as my guest today. And I was fortunate to attend your Swedish press release breakfast this morning. Thank you for that.
Thank you for being there. It was lovely to meet you in person.
Yeah. So how are you today and where are you located right now? Because you're from France, living in Paris, but right now you're somewhere else.
Exactly. So right now I'm in Stockholm in my hotel room, and I'm here for 3 days meeting a lot of amazing Swedish people. It's my first time in Sweden and yay. I really like it. I have to say, I really, really like you guys. Very kind and curious and lovely to hang out with. So yeah, in my hotel room, and I'm doing a bunch of interviews, podcasts, and doing a book signing this afternoon, and then back to Paris tomorrow night. So express visit.
Yay, we like that. So first of all, I wanted to read something from your book. So I'm going to find my phone here. Let's see. It's called Enter the Cockpit. Navigating our health sometimes feels like glancing into an airplane cockpit on the way to our seat. We see complicated stuff everywhere. Screens, dials, flashing lights, knobs, switches, levers, buttons to the left, buttons to the right, buttons on the ceiling. No, but really, why do they have buttons on the ceiling? We look away, feeling grateful that the pilots know what they're doing. As passengers, all we care about is whether or not the plane stays in the air. When it comes to our bodies, we are the clueless passengers, but plot twist, we're also the pilots. And if we don't know how our body works, it's as if we're flying blind. We know how we want to feel. We want to wake up with a smile, like Rise and Shine, the name of the podcast, feeling energized and excited for the day. We want to have a skip in our step, feel pain-free, etc. We want to spend quality time with our loved ones, feeling positive and grateful, but it can be challenging to know how to get there. We are overwhelmed by all the buttons. What to do, where to start. We should start with glucose. That's where we're going to start.
So it is true.
What is glucose?
Oh, well, listen, glucose is a molecule that is in our body. And, you know, in that story that you mentioned about the cockpit, it's a chapter I loved writing because it's really how I felt myself for so long. For 10 years, I was clueless about what I needed to do to feel better. And when I discovered the science of glucose, everything really changed for me. And so now I'm happy to share it with you and your listeners. So glucose is a molecule that your body uses for energy. So very simply, it's your body's favorite source of energy. And every single cell in your body burns glucose to make energy. So, you know, for example, right now, my mouth cells are using glucose to speak, my brain cells to think, my heart cells to pump. So every cell in your body needs glucose. It is very important. And as human beings, the easiest and the main way that we give this very precious glucose to our body is by eating foods, and specifically by eating two types of foods. Starchy foods. So that means like potatoes, bread, pasta, rice, anything starchy. And then by eating sweet foods. So anything from a piece of fruit to the Swedish fika that I discovered.
Yeah, that's so a good word to know if you're Swedish.
Yes, yes. So anything that tastes sweet also contains glucose. So we need glucose for energy, and we get glucose through eating starchy and sweet foods. The problem is actually, in most cases, we're eating too much of this starchy and sweet foods. And so instead of glucose being given at a good, healthy rate to our body, we're delivering too much of it too quickly, and our body starts experiencing symptoms from that. And the image I like to use is that you can think of your body a little bit like a plant. So a plant needs some water to survive. But if you give a plant too much water, it will drown and die. And the human body needs some glucose to survive. But if you give it too much glucose, problems start happening. And then you will feel the symptoms of that.
Wow. I'm going to leave a cliffhanger there because there are so many more questions there. So let's do the cliffhanger and let's move back a few years, because I want to get to know you as well, not only the glucose mystery. Mm-hmm. So before we dive into the myths and everything else, I want to know what happened in Hawaii when you were 19 years old. Hawaii, as we talked about this morning when we met, Hawaii is on my top a bucket list to dive with dolphins.
Wild dolphins.
Wild dolphins in Kauai.
But does it have to be wild dolphins, or can it be like...
They can be tamed and nice, but they have to be in the ocean. I don't want to go in the pool.
Okay. Yeah, 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 yeah. Of course.
So you were 19 and you were in Hawaii and with a bunch of girlfriends. And tell me the story.
Okay, so the story was, I was with these friends and we were doing a little hike in the jungle, and my friends were like, hey, let's jump off this waterfall. And so they jump off and they're like, Jesse, do it. And I wanted to look cool. You know, I wanted to be fearless, and I wanted to be like, yeah, I can do stuff that's scary. Like, I don't care. I'm badass. And so I didn't listen to myself, and I went up to the top of the waterfall and I jumped. And unfortunately, during that jump, when I hit the water, one of my vertebrae in my spine exploded just under the pressure of the water. Yeah, fucking
because
terrible.
They told you, I'm sorry, they told you to be really,
straight,
like a plank, straight.
In.
Yeah, but you landed on your butt, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Oof. I know. And so sort of fast forward a month later, I'm in a hospital. I just had spinal surgery. I'm in the most pain I've ever been in my life. And I'm like, wow, my life just really changed very quickly. And what happened is that my body healed pretty quickly. Now I have a bunch of metal in my spine, but my body's fine. Like, I have no physical symptoms anymore. But the problem was I started developing a lot of mental health problems. Depression, anxiety, feeling dissociated, like for a long, long, long time. And so at that young age of 19, Sharon, it was very clear to me that if I couldn't fix my mental health, nothing was more important than fixing it. It was like, this is what I need to fix first. If you don't have your health, you have nothing.
I know.
And so I started a journey just to try to understand the body, really. And I was studying mathematics at the time. And so I finished my mathematics degree, and then I went to grad school to study biochemistry. Did that. Still not many answers about what I needed to do to feel good. And I learned a lot of stuff, but it still felt really confused and super scared to be alone. And my body was still this black box. And then I went to work in the field of genetics in California for 5 years. And same, you know, it was very interesting, but still I felt broken side. And at that point, it had been, you know, 7 years since my accident, and still I didn't know how to take care of my health and how to feel better. And then I do believe that it was kind of like the universe putting this on my path, but I discovered glucose because I was offered the option to try a continuous glucose monitor, which is a device that's made for diabetics, actually. But in Silicon Valley, people were using it even without having diabetes to sort of track how their body was responding to food and activity. And so I put it on, and it was really transformative for me because I started discovering that when my glucose was irregular, my mental health was really, really bad. Mm. And the days where I was able to keep my glucose a bit steadier, I felt just so much better. And so that gave me a massive clue that my healing needed to go through this particular chapter of balancing my glucose levels. And so I did, and it helped me tremendously, really. And then you layer on top of that, you know, all the other stuff I was able to do, all the body work and the healing and the therapy. And now I feel like now I'm actually healed. You know, it was 12 years ago. That's now amazing. I'm actually healed.
Amazing.
So nice.
You looked so glowy and alive this morning.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's really, I'm really proud of myself for having gone through that shit because, man, it was dark. You know, when you're in such a dark place and you just don't know how to get out.
Did you get any help? I mean, did you?
Yeah. I mean, you know,
traditional help.
Yeah. I had a therapist and it was helping, but I just still felt alone. I didn't have the tools. Nobody had told me to, you know, think really clearly about my food and how I was feeling my body and how to listen to the symptoms. And so it was a long journey. Even though there were people around me, I felt very alone in that journey. Yeah.
Mm. Mm. I got a picture in my head right now when you're talking about the spikes. I have two daughters. They're now 14 and 21. But when they were little, they all went to these parties. You know, they were dressed up as ballerinas or something else, and they were all like, it was massive sugar attack for like two hours. Everything like soda and cakes and everything. And my oldest, the 21 year old now, she came home from one party. She was maybe three or something. And she threw up. I was like, okay, maybe she had something bad. And then the same thing happened after the second party and the third party. I was like, okay, she can't handle this intense, like concentrated sugar thing. So I started to give her something else before she went there. And I said, you can't drink soda because it's so much chemicals. Maybe you can have home baked cookies, but you can't have the soda. You can't have the Coca-Cola or whatever. And it was better. And then when my seven years later, when my youngest Stella, when she was born, the same thing happened to her. So I'm like, it's in the genes. So we are really sensitive to sugar.
And you as well?
I as well. So this is a picture I see when you talk about this, because when you see all these kids running around, they're like super high on sugar and they are screaming and they're just being crazy. And two, three hours later, they're passing out.
Yes.
So they have this.
That's massive, a glucose spike and a glucose crash.
Yeah.
Like that's the textbook thing. And then for kids, you can see it as like this hyperactivity and then this crashing. But for adults, it takes many different forms. You know, for some people, it affects their mental health, like me. But for others, it really like will mess with their brains in various ways. So the science shows us that the more you have glucose spikes in your diet, the more you're going to have symptoms of anxiety and depression. If that's something that you're dealing with, right? So that's just one piece, like the mental health. And then we also know the more glucose spikes we have, the more likely we are long-term to develop dementia. So it's very linked to the brain. We also know that the more spikes we have, the more we're going to have cravings for more sugar. So we start this sort of addiction cycle, and the hungrier we're going to get. And that's what happens. Like that's the feeling inside of our body. But on the surface, on our skin, glucose spikes, you know, increase the risk of so many symptoms, whether it's acne, eczema, psoriasis, rapid aging. You know, you can see it on your skin via wrinkles, whether it's fertility problems, which are becoming more and more common. polycystic ovarian syndrome, missed periods, difficult menopause, endometriosis. Like, these are all linked to your hormonal system, and your hormonal system cannot function properly if your glucose is out of whack. I mean, all this to say that I learned through my own journey and then through looking at the science that was out there, that it's very clear that like having balanced glucose levels is tremendously important to our physical and our mental health. And to me, balancing your glucose levels is like the first step. You know, it's the foundation of your house. Like, you need to have that in place so that you can then build and go after your dreams and improve a little bit more and a little bit more and feel a bit better and a bit better. It's really the foundation of the house.
Wow. I have like a zillion questions in my head right now. This is such a huge thing, Jesse. I mean, this is enormous. You should educate the whole world, I think. Mm-hmm. And I'm also like seeing, since I have young kids, and I'm also seeing friends around me, people are not aware of what they put in their mouth. They think that everything is, you go to, if something happens to you, someone else would fix it. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the coffee shop or in whatever, Starbucks in the States or here, you have Espresso House or Wayne's or whatever, any other cafe, you buy a muffin to your coffee, and the muffin is for one person, but actually it's for four people. It's humongous. And just what we're seeing right now in the world is just horrible. So you're really on a mission here.
I am. And it is horrible in a sense, because more and more people are suffering from short-term pains or long-term chronic illnesses. But also, I don't think the solution is to tell people, like, don't ever eat sugar ever again, because that's just not realistic. And so the hacks that I took from the science and that I share in Glucose Revolution are really about teaching you how, when, and in what combination that you can eat sugars and starches so that you get all the pleasure, but you get less of the symptoms and the consequences on your body. So it's not like a diet. It's not something that's restrictive. It's more like a little book of habits that are going to help you now and forever. And I also think that that's what's really needed right now, because we don't want somebody to just be like, hey, you're a terrible person for eating sugar. Like, you should feel so ashamed. It's like, no, that's just not the vibe. What we need to teach people is the effect that the food is having on their bodies and how to mitigate it in a way that's pain-free, really. And that's easy and accessible, and that you can do starting today.
Yay. Let's go there, because someone asked you this morning and they said, how long is it going to take? Because it's always the big question, like, okay, I want to lose weight. How long is it going to take? And I want to be a faster runner. How long is it going to take? And you said, actually, really fast, maybe one day.
Yeah.
So let's just dive into that. So what can we do? I know you have a bunch of hacks, but you don't want to spoil them all. So let's just take a few of them. Like, what can we do today?
Yeah, let's talk about what we can do today. Okay, so if you're listening to this, next time you have a meal, when you're sitting down for your meal, look at the food in front of you. And instead of just like eating it in whatever order, try this. Try eating the vegetables in your meal first. Or if there are no vegetables in your meal, try adding some vegetables to the beginning of your meal. So like a side salad, some leftover roasted veggies from the fridge, whatever. If you're at the restaurant, order a little side dish of veggies. This is really important for our glucose levels, because veggies contain fiber. And fiber is a substance that is very protective to our glucose levels. When we eat it first, before anything else, it has time to deploy itself onto the walls of our intestine. And it creates this like protective mesh. And then it can reduce very significantly the glucose spike of the meal coming down afterwards. So that's a really key thing. Eat some veggies at the beginning of your meal. Try it, and you'll see the cravings that you usually have maybe 2 hours after the meal will be lessened, because you'll have much less of a glucose roller coaster going on. That's an easy one.
And the other one?
Oh, which one should I go into now?
Let's say the vinegar one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So there are many clinical trials that show us that vinegar is like a very effective ally to reduce our glucose spikes. And it's because vinegar contains a molecule called acetic acid. And so this is the hack. Before your meals, have 1 tablespoon of vinegar. You can either put it as a dressing on the veggies that we just talked about, or you can have it like in a big glass of water, diluted with a lot of water and with a straw to protect your teeth. And if you do this, you can reduce the glucose spike of your meal by up to 30% without changing the rest of your meal at all, just by adding this little vinegar hack at the beginning. And it's quite interesting and quite powerful. And the way it works is that the acetic acid in the vinegar, it does two things. First, it slows down how quickly starches get broken down into glucose in your digestive system. And two, it tells your muscles to soak up extra glucose as it arrives in your bloodstream to reduce the glucose spike. So that's just
so smart.
Yeah, it's cool, right?
Yeah,
it's
very easy. Cool.
Very easy. And also, you know, vinegar has been used for centuries. I mean, in Iran, I know that it's a very popular drink and that people just kind of have it and know it's a healthy thing to drink. And all of the hacks I share are very, really culturally linked, because you find that actually a lot of these things that we now understand are good for our glucose have been advice that's been passed on via many generations and have been cultural habits that we kind of maybe lost track of a little bit, but now we understand why they work. And so it's really important to bring them
back. I'm thinking, like, this is old stuff that you are refreshing that most people aren't aware of, because I'm thinking, like, if you go to a traditional Swedish or wherever in the world, spa or something, like a health place. Mm-hmm. Usually before breakfast, they serve vinegar, or in Sweden, they also serve, which is so not tasty.
It's like, what do they serve?
It's so nasty, because I drank it by mistake. And I was like, oh my God. It was,
what is it?
So after you boil potatoes, you save the water.
Really?
It's horrible.
Why? Why do people do that?
Acidic, basic. So vinegar is also acidic, and also lemon water is acidic.
Yes.
But it was horrible. So I took a glass of water. I was like, oh my God, what is this?
No. Okay, I have to try that now. That sounds actually like an experience.
Maybe it's a Swedish thing.
Oh.
I don't know.
That's funny.
But also, when you talked this morning, I was thinking, like, this is also a big, like, cultural thing, maybe, because if you're in Asia, you don't eat like a typical Swedish breakfast. For those of you who are not Swedish listening to this, it's like, you can have cottage cheese, or you can have what we call filmjölk, which is sour, what's the word for that? Like sour milk. I'm sure you saw that this morning, mm-hmm. with some kind of granola, and you have a piece of bread, which is usually filled with some sugar. And mm-hmm. We have a glass of lemon juice and coffee. That's a typical Swedish breakfast, or oatmeal. But if you go to Asia, it's always warm. Mm-hmm. You have this warm meal with vegetables. And
it's more of a regular, normal meal, right?
Yeah.
The concept that breakfast should be sweet is kind of an invention. It didn't used to be that way. We just used to have a regular meal for breakfast. But now there are so many breakfast foods that are very high in sugar, that are very addictive and tasty, that they've sort of taken over breakfast culture. And when we have something sweet in the morning, we might think that we're giving our body energy, but actually what's happening is that you're getting pleasure in your brain from dopamine. Dopamine is released in response to eating something sweet. But because of the glucose spike that the sugar is creating, you're actually hurting your long-term ability to make energy. So the cells in your body and the mitochondria in the cells are getting stressed out by the glucose spikes. So even though you feel like a little bit awake because of the dopamine, actually you're really increasing the chance that you're going to get chronically fatigued. And so I hear many stories of my readers who were in a situation where they had sugar in the morning, they had a snack at 11, they had to eat every couple of hours, something starchy or something sweet to keep their energy up, as they would say. And what they didn't know is that they were on a glucose roller coaster, and that their acne and their, you know, mental health episodes and their fertility was out of whack because of this glucose roller coaster they won. And then when you change and you apply these hacks that I share, you can really have a very different experience of your days and of your life. It's really like if you're in a movie and you walk through the other side of the mirror, you know, it's really a different world because you're not somebody who just has bad skin, and you don't have to be somebody who just is moody and gets really hungry and really shaky. You know, like those are just symptoms. Those are not you. And that's such an important thing that I want people to understand. A lot of the symptoms you're feeling today, they're probably not you. They can very well be just a side effect of glucose spikes happening within, and your body is just waiting for you to apply these little habits to fix it. And then it becomes your best friend again.
Wow. That is so interesting. And I'm thinking also like back to the Swedish breakfast. A lot of people eat oatmeal, and we have, I know someone asked this morning as well, and we have been told through media, of course, that oatmeal is so good. You get so much energy. You should always start your morning with oatmeal. It's super great for everything. And on top of that, you put some jam or something. And first question, is that good? Well, I know the answer, but second, how can we coat it so we can, yeah. You say something in the book, like you put clothes on your food.
On your carbs, yeah. And let me talk to you about the breakfast hack. So the main principle in the book is that in the morning, you should have a savory breakfast that is built around protein instead of a sweet breakfast or a breakfast that just contains starches and sugars. So if you think of oatmeal, for example, oats are like 60, 70% starch. So actually, they create a big glucose spike. So we can categorize them as starch. And then if you add jam on top of it, or if you maybe have like a fruit juice or something like that, you're adding sugar. So you're having a big glucose spike for breakfast. And that glucose spike might very well create, you know, being tired every 2 hours, having cravings, being hungry all day, etc. What you want to do instead is have a breakfast that's built around protein. That will keep your glucose level steady. You can have some starch for taste. And I recommend that you have nothing sweet except whole fruit if you want. So in the example of the oats, for example, here's what you would do. If you're somebody who has oats and jam, for example, in the morning, what I recommend you do is, if you really love your oats, by the way, and you want to keep them because you don't need to eat them, if you want to keep the oats, you can do several things. You can either have some protein at the beginning of your breakfast. So have some eggs, maybe have some fish, some leftover, I don't know, chicken, whatever you have in your fridge. And then you can have some oats as kind of like a taste side dish. Or inside of your oatmeal, you can mix in some protein powder. You can add like some nut butter. You can add some chia seeds. You can add some full fat yogurt, which is really high in protein. And then a few berries if you want for a taste. But the bulk of your breakfast needs to be protein. That's really important to keep your glucose level steady and to feel better.
So, and also the importance is the order. So you want to eat your egg before you eat the oatmeal.
So you for kind the food of make order, a little, yeah. You can, yeah, absolutely. So for the food order, it's always better during a meal to eat anything that turns to glucose towards the end of the meal, right? So that's why the oats should be more towards the end of the meal. But let's say that the order thing you have a hard time doing at breakfast, because at breakfast we don't have like the veggies and it's not so differentiated. A lot of people just have one big bowl of something. So in that case, it's much better to add some egg or some protein powder and have it with the oats than to not have it at all, right? So it's a spectrum. The oats on their own is going to be the worst for your glucose. Then slightly better is going to be adding some protein and having it with it. And then even better is going to be to have the protein first and then the oats. And in my book, I have a whole section on oats because it's a very common question I have. So I explain all the different ways that you can sort of
no one wants to change their habits. Like, I want to have my oats. How can I do it?
Yeah, and I understand.
How can I cheat the oats? Yeah.
No, I understand. And I think over time, what happens is that you might feel like your taste buds change or you have different desires or your body's like, actually, I want cauliflower and anchovies for breakfast, you know, which happens to me now. So it's one step at a time.
Well, I love that. I'm thinking also maybe you get totally different questions depending on which of these 40 countries you visit.
Yeah, of course.
But you're French. Like you take like the Gauloise and a pain chocolat for breakfast, or don't you?
No, honestly, I don't. No. Now for breakfast, my favorite breakfast is having leftovers and some eggs. So I'll open my fridge and be like, oh, I have leftover, I don't know, Indian food from last night. And I'll put that in the pan, warm it up, and then crack a couple of eggs in it, throw some Parmesan on top. And that's my favorite breakfast. Or I have a really nice omelette I make with feta and tomatoes. Mm. But now today, even if my friend would show up at my apartment with like the best pain au chocolat of Paris.
Wow.
I would not even want to have it for breakfast. I would keep it and have it after my lunch or after my dinner, is the best time to eat sweet foods. Because if I had it for breakfast, I know how I'm going to feel that day. And I know I'm going to feel worse than if I had my usual protein breakfast.
Never before have I considered shampooing my hair to be a nice ritual until now. I really enjoy massaging these bars on my body as well as my head. Together with the scents from jasmine, bergamot, rosemary, eucalyptus, and orange blossom, my showering moments are now at a whole new level. The products are certified vegan and completely free of plastic and harsh ingredients. And another thing that I really love about Beauty Disrupted is that they donate as much as 20% of their profits to organizations that protect the planet and combat climate change. But most of all, they give me a huge sense of pleasure. Okay, now the big question, I think, because in Sweden we have fruktkorg.
What's that?
It's a healthy fika. So all big companies have fruktkorg. Frukt is fruit. So you have a big basket of fruit. And so we were always taught in Sweden, at least, or the rest of the world as well, fruit is always healthy.
Yeah.
So people eat like tons of fruit and think they're super healthy. And then they skip like the cinnamon bun or whatever, chocolate cake or something. So now the question, can the body feel the difference of all the kind of sugars? Like if it's agave or syrup or honey or fruit or chocolate cake?
Yes.
What happens to the glucose levels?
So the best thing always is to have a piece of whole fruit. Like that will always be better than anything else that's sweet, actually, because whole fruit contains fiber. And as I explained, the fiber is really protective in your intestine for glucose spikes. Now, the issue starts when you change the nature of fruit. So if you juice the fruit, if you dry the fruit, if you puree the fruit, then you're removing the fiber and you're concentrating the sugar in the fruit. And so if you take, for example, like an orange juice and you compare it to Coca-Cola, okay? In the orange juice, there is glucose molecules that came from the orange. In the Coca-Cola, there is glucose molecules as well. But in this case, they usually come from beetroot or canes, right? But your body does not care where those molecules came from. Your body is just like, oh, that's glucose. Yeah. It's not like the glucose from a piece of fruit has like a special little thing on it that makes it, you know, better for you. It's literally the same exact molecule. It makes no difference. Mm. So unfortunately, if you have fruit juice, you're really having just a huge amount of sugar into your system that is comparable to the amount of sugar that would be in a soda. And even though it seems healthier, you know, because it's like orange and it's freshly squeezed and all this stuff, to your body, it doesn't make a very big difference. So that's a huge, huge myth that's important to talk about and dispel. The source of the sugar makes no difference in terms of what it's going to do to you. And then, for example, agave, maple syrup, you know, brown sugar, blah, blah, blah. Like there's so many different names for all these sugar products, but they're all just the same molecules. So it really doesn't make a difference. And the best thing to do is to have the one that you like best, because in your body, they're going to have the same effect. So just pick what you prefer and have that. And there's also one thing that I wanted to mention is that in sugar, there's actually not just glucose. There's also fructose, which is another molecule in sugar. And that's the one that has the most harmful effects on the body and on the liver. And that's why, and then I'm done, it's always better to eat something starchy.
We have 25 more minutes.
perfect. I mean, I was done with answering this particular question.
That's so why it's always,
good.
Yeah.
That's why it's always better to eat something starchy that contains just glucose, because in starches, there's no fructose, instead of something sweet, because the sweet contains also fructose. So for example, you know, if, I don't know, I'm home and I'm like, oh, I really want a snack. And I have an option between, let's say, a piece of chocolate cake or a piece of baguette of bread. If the chocolate cake is not really interesting and I really don't care about either, I will always pick the starchy. I will always pick just the bread instead of the cake, because the bread doesn't have the fructose in it. And I know it's going to be better for my body.
But then you want to add something to it. You want to add butter,
then I can.
Or you want to, yeah.
Yeah, I could add some ham. I could add some like smoked salmon. I could add like a bit of avocado or something like that. You can, but even if you were to have just a piece of bread naked, it's still better than having the piece of chocolate cake naked as well. You know, it's all a spectrum.
Yeah.
So nothing is really inherently good or bad. It's more like, is it better than that? Or is it worse than that? Do you see what I mean? You can always make just a slightly better choice.
And I'm thinking now that we are recording, it's January 11th, and the whole world that celebrates Christmas, we always eat too much. And a lot of people every year in January say that, oh, I'm going to be healthier. I'm going to train more. I'm going to do that. And I want to start out my year with a detox. Let's do like a juicing detox. So after talking to you and reading almost all of your book, I'm thinking juicing detox is just insane.
I think detoxes in general are just crap and we should not do that kind of stuff. I just don't believe in anything that's extreme, short period of time, that has some sort of like, you're going to lose 20 pounds in a week, promise. Like that's just bullshit and crap. And I really hope people stop doing that, because it's just not good for your body or for your brain. But yeah, juicing detox, if you're just having apple juice for 2 weeks, like that's just not good for your glucose levels, you know? And it might make you feel like quite light and stuff, because you're kind of starving yourself. And so your body is a bit in shock, you know, but it's not a sustainable thing. And it's not a very healthy thing to do either. It's much better and kinder to yourself and your body, and much more effective long-term to like learn some habits that you can start applying and keep with you for your whole life. I'm really anti diets, and I'm anti like crash 1 week thing, yada, yada. Because it's not about losing weight, actually. It's about feeling good.
Yeah.
You know, it's about like, I just want to feel good. I want to feel connected to my body. I want to feel proud of myself.
I like that. I totally agree.
And that does not have anything to do with the weight on the scale. You know, the diet industry has told you that to be a valuable person, you need to weigh X amount of kilos, but that's just absolute bullshit. So I'm here to tell you, never go on a diet ever again, ever, ever again. Just learn these principles and you'll be able to get your energy back.
Yeah.
Your mood will be more stable. You'll be less tired. You'll fix your body from within. You'll prevent long-term illnesses and you'll be empowered. And you'll have now this health, like, base and stability to go and do the things that you want to do in your life, you know, to be the person you want to be.
Yeah.
And that's really what it's about. It's not about losing 5 kilos.
Thank you, Jesse. I love that. Like Jesse for health president. But but I know that a lot of listeners are so focused on their weight. So that's why I wanted to ask that question. But
yes, and that's
by
the way, like losing weight is often a consequence of studying your glucose levels, because naturally you reduce your cravings and you're less hungry and your body's in fat burning mode more. So people will often be like, oh, I didn't even try, but I actually lost, you know, X amount of weight. And it's totally fine if you want to lose weight. It's totally a legitimate thing to want to do. I just don't want people to fall victim to like these 1 week detox, 1 month, like lose half your body weight. Like that stuff is toxic. But if your goal is to feel better and lose weight, like this is also a way to do it. But it's a healthy and sustainable way that really helps you do it in a good way for your body.
I love that you say it's sustainable way, because it's really, you're really becoming a victim, like you say, if you focus on these things. So many more questions. So what do you eat, like breakfast, lunch, dinner, or however you eat? What do your days look like? So on a normal day when you're in Paris.
When I'm in Paris. So my favorite breakfast is really to try to make this little like leftovers plus two eggs situation. So I love eggs, and I probably have eggs every morning, like two, I would say. And either I make them on their own, or I throw in some leftovers from the fridge and Parmesan, because I love Parmesan. I love it. It's so good, right?
I love it. I like brie as well. I had brie this morning when I came back from your breakfast.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Cheese is the best.
I know.
And then because my breakfast keeps me full for a long time. And by the way, your breakfast should keep you full for about 4 hours. Mm. If it doesn't, you're not eating enough protein. So I'm not hungry at all during the morning. Like I'll just go and do stuff, do things I need to do. And then maybe around noon or one, I'll be like, okay, yeah, I could eat something now. So my first thought is like, okay, I'm going to find some veggies to have before the rest of my meal. So whether I'm at home and I make a little side salad first, or I'm, you know, out and having food somewhere, I'm always going to think, what is the veggies I'm going to have first? So I'll have my meal. And then in the afternoon, what usually happens to me is that I am like, ooh, I really want to eat some sugar tonight. I want to eat like my favorite chocolate ice cream, or I want to eat the best pain au chocolat in Paris. Mm. Or, you know, I'll walk by a bakery and be like, ooh, that looks like a good cookie. And so what I do is that
your whole body changes when you say that.
It's true. I love sweets. It's so good. So I'll probably like buy something in the afternoon, but I won't eat it then. Like I'd much rather have it after my dinner, so I avoid the big glucose spike from the afternoon. Well, the fika, which is sugary and will lead to the spike. So that's usually what I'll do. And in the evening, it's kind of the same concept. I'll have veggies first, then some proteins, then usually some starches. At dinner is when I like having starches, and then my dessert. So that's what I do food-wise.
Wow. I love it.
And when I can, you know, after my breakfast or after my lunch, I will go on a walk, like 10 or 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's another life hack.
Yeah, it's another good hack. So after your meals, you want to use your muscles for 10 or 15 minutes. And as you do this, your muscles are going to use glucose to contract and for energy. So you'll be able to reduce the glucose spike of your meal.
Yeah.
By having your muscles soak up some of that glucose to use to contract. So I definitely try to do that after my meals. And it really helps prevent like the food coma. If you're somebody who feels tired after your meals.
We've all had the food coma.
Yeah. So if you're somebody who feels tired after your meals, this is a very good hack for you. It'll help you a lot.
Love that. I love that you have these. I mean, you don't have to do like a major change in your life. It's not like you're going to have to stop eating all your favorite things. You just have to change the order, and maybe you can add some stuff like the greens before the juicy stuff and or the vinegar. I have a question, because I do it myself. What are your thoughts about kombucha?
Ooh. So kombucha contains, you know, the molecule I was talking about that's in vinegar, acetic acid, that has all the good properties. So vinegar contains about 5% acetic acid, and kombucha like 1% acetic acid. So it's not a good replacement for vinegar. But if you make the kombucha yourself, it's, you know, fermented foods, and that's really, really good for you. What you want to avoid is to buy the store kombucha that usually has a lot of fruit juice in it. But otherwise, yeah, totally great. Go for it.
Good.
Very good for your microbiome, you know?
We like that. Like that. So here in Sweden, I'm talking about kids again, but also adults. Like if you are on a strict diet, 6 days a week, how is it to have one spike once in a while? Like thinking you're living super healthy 6 days a week, and then you did like go crazy on the seventh day. Is that okay? How does that affect you long term, short term?
I mean, absolutely. Like, I still have glucose spikes, and most of us will still have glucose spikes when we, you know, want to eat all the pasta and cookies, because that happens to all of us and it's totally normal. And that's not to be feared. Like, the objective is not to try to have never any glucose spike, because then you can become a bit obsessed with that. What we really want to do is like, okay, when it's easy, when I feel like it, I'm going to do some of these hacks. So I'm helping my body. And then the rest of the time when I don't want to do the hacks, and if you wake up in the morning and you want ice cream for breakfast, like, go for it.
Like, that happens
to me. Yeah, really? Absolutely. Yeah. You wake up. Yeah, for sure. Really? It happened to me a few times. Yeah.
And I'm more like a pasta girl. Take a huge bottle of vinegar and then
no,
the
I don't.
Cream.
Sometimes I don't want to do the hacks at all. Sometimes I just eat the ice cream.
Yeah.
For sure. But that's an important piece of information
that never happened
for people
to
know. Really?
It never happened to me. I never woke up and craving ice cream.
Oh, you're going to see tomorrow. You're going to wake up and craving ice cream. Now your brain
Thank
has heard
Thank you for
this.
That. I do have two lovely Häagen-Dazs in my freezer.
Oh, yummy.
Yeah, I
so
know.
Good.
Yummy.
So good.
Yeah,
so
I know your hotel is not far from where I live, so you're more
oh,
than
nice.
Welcome.
I'll come
to
over for breakfast. Breakfast Häagen-Dazs. I love it. Yeah, so, you know, it's not about like trying to do this all the time. It's about doing it when it's easy.
Yeah.
And it will really help you. Even if you just do one hack per week, one time, it's still going to be really good and better than never doing them at all. Mm-hmm. So it's about very small progress and just building up and doing it when you feel like you want to do them.
Nice. Okay, so now I'm 51. So asking for a friend.
Yeah.
What is your best life hack with the glucose thing for women in menopause?
So the science is showing us that it's really important to think about your glucose levels also when you're in menopause, because the more glucose spikes you have, the more it's going to increase your symptoms, whether it's insomnia, hot flashes, stuff like that, because your hormonal system is very connected to your glucose levels. So it's really key. Listen, honestly, the great thing about these hacks is that they apply to all stages of life. So my top tip would be look through my 10 hacks and see which ones call you and which ones you're like, oh, I want to try that, and just like go for it. And the more symptoms you have of menopause, the more I recommend you try doing this more, and you should probably see some improvements. And so that's really my life hack, is like, get my book and start applying this stuff. And all the stuff in the book, like, it's all free, you know, it's all like, it's not like buy this expensive detox tea that I make.
Simple
like,
tips.
Yeah. Very simple tips, but they can make a huge difference. Mm. Huge difference.
Love that. You were talking about eagle energy this morning. What was that about? Or was that just something you invented this morning?
No, I didn't invent it. Maria invented it.
Oh, Maria invented it. Yeah.
Yes. So she was saying that when she switched from having a sweet breakfast to a savory breakfast, like I teach, her energy went into like eagle energy.
Oh,
she
feels like she's just
flowing into the day.
Exactly.
Like just riding this wave of energy. And it's really true. And that's why I would never have the pain au chocolat for breakfast, even if you brought it to my house, because I'm like, I don't want to feel crappy today. So once you realize how you can set your day up for success with a savory breakfast and unlock this eagle energy, as she said, there's really no going back. It's like so obvious that this is going to be good for you long term.
I like that word though, eagle energy.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah. I might have to steal it. I have to call Maria and ask if I can steal it.
Yeah, you should.
So,
I love it.
So, glucose spikes cause inflammation in your body. So when Maria Borelius, for all you Swedish listeners, she's really a famous journalist and author in Sweden, and she started this talk about anti-inflammatory food. What does that mean? Do we walk around with an inflammation, long-term inflammation in our bodies the whole time?
It depends on your lifestyle.
Oh yeah, that's
it depends
true.
On your lifestyle. But 3 out of 5 people will contract an inflammatory-based disease and die of it. Like most diseases you can name, like cancer, heart disease, etc., like they're all inflammation based.
Yeah.
And inflammation really is something that we really want to bring down, because it can have so many different effects on the body, from just acne and psoriasis to like actual organ damage. So with every glucose spike, you're actually very slowly increasing the amount of inflammation in your body. But the good news is you can really reduce it quite rapidly. If you're somebody who has like joint pain or like redness in your skin, or you just feel like your body is doesn't working very well, it's possible that there's some inflammation going on. And the good news is you can really change that and affect that with how you're eating. So yes, it's a big problem. Yes, most of us have inflammation, but also, yes, you have a lot of power and you can change that.
Yay, eagle energy power.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
So I would say, I don't know what your take is on this, but I would say let's try intermittent fasting. Or fasting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't look convinced.
I'm pretty balanced on that subject. I think you don't need to do intermittent fasting to have good health. And I think if you do it, you should do it because it feels good to you. You know, it's not like obvious that everybody should be doing it all the time. Most of the studies that are showing the benefits of it have been done on men, and on women premenopause. It's not super clear whether it's good to do it all the time. So listen to your body. We know that it's better to eat full meals rather than full meals plus snacks. So that's for sure. It's better to not snack. But then, you know, most of us do pretty well if we fast from like, if we have like a kind of early dinner, like maybe 7 p.m. and then we have breakfast a little bit later. Like that's a good way to extend your fasting window. But anything more extreme, like if you're doing, I don't know, 20-hour fasts or multiple day fasts, like that could be quite stressful on the body. So only do it if you're really sure that it feels good to you and you don't, it doesn't make you feel stressed out or burnt out, because it can pile up.
One question that all my guests gets is, what are your morning routines? Like, when do you get up? What's the first thing you do? Do you have any routines?
You know, one thing that changed my morning routine forever is that I no longer sleep with my phone next to me, and I no longer turn my phone on in the morning. Like I wait an hour to turn my phone on. And that is just amazing. What time do I wake up? It depends. Like if I don't have anything in the morning, like no meetings, I need a lot of sleep. I need like 9 or 10 hours to feel really good. I don't usually get it, but if I can, I will sleep in until like 9 or 10 to get that amount of sleep, because I feel so much better and more creative. I know, it's the dream. It's the dream. So usually I will get up, make some green tea, and then go for a little walk outside, and then get back and just start doing some work. I can be quite focused in the morning. So if I have to write or do any deep work, that's what I'll do. And then I actually usually turn my computer on before I turn my phone on. And that's also quite nice, because you get some notifications on your computer, so you can start seeing what's happening, but it's less like all condensed on this tiny screen screaming at your eyes.
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah, it's the worst.
But there was no food in here. You woke up.
Oh, yeah. Then I also had food.
Green tea, walk. When do you eat? Before or after your work?
Before the walk.
Before the walk. Okay, yeah, so green tea and food.
Yeah, green tea and food. And little walk. And then I do some work. And in the afternoon, I will usually like go outside. If I have time to work out, I will. If I have meetings outside, I'll do that.
Yeah. What kind of workouts do you do?
Listen, I love anything. I love going to like boot camp classes. I have weights at home, so I lift a lot of just weights in front of like workout videos at home. I love running. I'm going to go for a little run after our podcast, actually. And in the summer, I love swimming in the ocean with the dolphins.
Don't say that.
I'm kidding.
You cannot swim with dolphins in Paris. I know that.
That's true. That's true.
So you kind of already answered this, but since the podcast, it's called Rise and Shine. What's your best rise and shine tip?
Don't look at your phone. Don't look at your phone. Just rise, connect with yourself, see how your body's feeling. Maybe do some writing if you have some time. And just take that moment to really like reconnect to yourself and your soul instead of just jumping into your phone. For me, it's been very helpful. Those morning moments, I'm quite clear and I can really feel like, oh, I need to be focusing on this actually. And it's a really important connection moment.
Love it. Are you a little bit religious with your morning routines? Like you always do them? You always do your green tea and your walk and you, like in this particular order?
No, I'm pretty flexible.
You're pretty
flexible. I will say, yeah, I'm a pretty flexible person. Mm-hmm. I have phases. So I had a phase where every morning I woke up and I wrote 3 pages. I was doing The Artist's Way. I don't know if you heard of that book.
I've had it recommended to me, but still I haven't read it.
Yeah,
thank you for that. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah.
So I was doing that. So I'm pretty flexible, but I need my sleep. That's what I'm really unflexible about. Like, just let me sleep. I need to sleep.
Love that. So we are at the podcast section where you will have your 5 incomplete sentences. Are you
ready? Yes, I'm ready.
Every night before I go to sleep, I normally
write in my little app on my phone my mood for the day. I rank it from 1 to 5 and I write a few little sentences about how the day went. And I've been doing this for like 3 years now. So I have 3 years worth of little dots with my mood in them. And the app that I use is called Dailyo, Daylio. And I absolutely love it. It's like super cheap, but I use it every day. And I'm completely obsessed with doing that. It's the last thing I do before I go to bed.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. So you actually do have your phone there, but then you go into the kitchen.
Then I put it away. Yeah. Then I'm like, okay, good night phone. And I put it outside.
Okay, good night phone. Good. Love that. My happy place is always...
Somewhere where I can see far. So somewhere perched, like being by a window with a long view, you know, something where I feel like I can see far away, or with a cat. I love cats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you have one?
Kind of, but not really. It's
so strange. Okay. Let's just leave it there. We will leave it there.
I kind of have a cat.
I kind of have a dog. That's also a long story. So let's just leave it there.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So the latest movie I saw was
Avatar 2.
Oh, how was it?
So good. Oh, it was so good. Yeah, it was so good.
I just don't like the blue people, weird things. But maybe I have to sit. I don't know. Maybe I have to force myself to see it because everyone says it's so good.
What do you have against blue people? No, you know how you think about them. They're like space cats. They kind of look like cats.
Oh,
they're just blue cats.
Because you like cats.
Yeah,
okay.
I
will watch it for you.
Thank you.
I will think about you. You're space cats.
Perfect. You like dolphins. You have to, it's all about water. You have to go.
Okay.
Because it'll satisfy your dolphin cravings.
Okay. So space dolphins. Space dolphins. Avatar.
Exactly.
Okay. Like that. This is a tricky one, but maybe not for you. If there were one law for every human being on this planet, that would be.
Oh my God. So I have so many options. I'm going so many places. I'm like, people need to be taught emotional processing and how to work through their feelings and their emotions and how to communicate. Oh my God, communication. Honestly, I think it would be communication.
Good.
I think it would be, the law is that you have to take like 5 nonviolent communication classes, because that would help a lot of interactions in the world. And that could add up to like a lot of benefit for humanity. So that's what I would say.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. The top 5 things that I always have in my purse when I travel.
Well, let me get my purse because I'm traveling right now. So I can answer that question.
I saw what you had on your Instagram yesterday when you flew to Stockholm. And I also
have eggs.
Boiled eggs in my purse.
I got so many messages from people on Instagram like, ew, they must smell so bad. Did you think about other people in the plane? I'm like, guys, I don't care. Like, it's okay. People can handle. So I have my AirPods, my keys, my wallet, and some glitter.
Okay. I didn't see that one coming. Glitter for?
I think it's leftover glitter from a party or something. But my purse is quite boring. Like I try to keep it quite tidy and simple. Yeah. So that's not even five.
And eggs.
And eggs.
You had three eggs yesterday.
And I have an old receipt.
Okay. Okay.
So
yeah, I see that. Okay. That wasn't so exciting, but I love the glitter.
I'm so sorry.
I love the glitter.
Perfect.
I was driving. We used to live in Mallorca a few years ago, and I was driving to work one morning, and while driving, I was stopping at the red light. I had to find something in my purse, and my daughter had put a napkin with a boiled egg with like a smiley on the egg. Said like, "Have a great day, Mom."
That's so cute.
I know.
That's okay. So cute.
Okay. So now you're going to have to rest for like a minute and listen to my thoughts about today's topic. I really enjoy this conversation and it helped me to understand my body even better when I can sometimes shake or shiver after eating too much sweet fruits for breakfast on an empty stomach, which I, by the way, don't do anymore. Well, maybe on Valentine's Day and sometimes in the summer. Knowing even more how our amazing body works is always exciting. And with this information, I hope that you, my sweet listeners, will become even more interested in your health and more aware of how you take care of yourself. Not only what you put in your mouth, but your overall well-being. And that includes, of course, what you eat, but also as important, how you eat, what you drink, how you sleep, your stress levels, how you recharge, how you spend your time, no, who you spend your time with, what you read, what you listen to, and of course, if you work out, etc., etc. Our body, our entire body is like a sponge. We absorb everything for good and for bad. So choose carefully how you spend your days. I have said it a million times before, and I know you said it too a while ago, but if we don't have our health, we have very little. And if we can enhance our health and well-being by your, dear Jesse, your life hacks, why shouldn't we? I posted a picture on Instagram the other day where there were two lines, one with a sign saying pills, and the other sign said life change. The line for pills was full and the other one was empty. Why is that? I leave that question with you. I am just saying that we have one life and one body, and you are the boss over your body. So, sweet listeners, read Jesse's book and take care of yourself because you are important.
I love it. You're wonderful.
Thank you so much for this, Jesse. It's been an absolute pleasure for a super fun, interesting, and really important interview.
Thank you for having me, Sharon. It was a pleasure, really.
Thank you. Thank you. So where can we find you on social media if you want to follow you and follow your mission in life?
Yes. So my Instagram is called Glucose Goddess. And my book, Glucose Revolution, you can say it better in Swedish.
Glukosrevolutionen.
There you go.
You can say that.
Glucose Revolution.
All right.
Is that good?
Yes, perfect.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, the book is really the place to start. And I've put so much love and time into it. And it reads like a novel. So it's not like a boring science book. It's really lots of images, stories of people. You'll just swish right through it.
Love it. So follow Glucose Goddess to keep you posted on everything that has to do with glucose. Buy the book, Glucose Revolution. You should be able to find it anywhere. Follow me at Shape by Shireen. Follow the podcast, of course, Rise and Shine with Shireen, or in Swedish, Rise and Shine med Shireen. Make sure to subscribe and please share it with your friends. And a big, big thank you to my wonderful sponsor, Beauty Disrupted. Until next time, my friends, take care, sending lots of love into your ears. Pussy kram. Bye, Jesse.
Bye, Shireen.